Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you and to praise you for this time together this Sunday morning to worship and to praise and to honor you. We pray by the gifting of your Holy Spirit that you would come attend your word, that we might with our eyes, our ears, and our hearts behold the beauty and the wonder of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is nice to be here with you again, and delight just to have Father Jeremy as my friend. And I can't often find you, and I'm glad I found you here. So there you go. I am so blessed today to be able to come with this text that we've just heard from the gospel reading. It's life-giving, especially these two verses that open up for us. The whole passage that Father Jeremy just read moves from an event that has happened. That event will cause division, and that we need to know the times that we're in. And that's sort of the movement of the nature of this text. But the way it starts is this moment that almost takes our breath away. Jesus says the words, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." So these verses, I think you're going to find they're everything. The first one is really a little bit more difficult, but just to give you a general theme, sometimes I am so convinced that we have got no concept, I know this is true, we've got no concept of how much the Lord loves us. His passion, his desire, his love upon us as a people. The value that you are before him. The worth that you have before him. And I say that because the second thing that's so important about this text is that it shows us how much trouble we're in. How much trouble we're in. The scriptures themselves are basically a story of a rescue mission. In every sense of the word, they're a rescue mission. And the difficulty with, and you can see it all around us in the culture, first world culture, you can see it everywhere. There are two great lies that Satan wants us to know deep inside of us. One is that we don't need to be rescued. And second, if we do need to be rescued, we can do it on our own. Those two lies permeate everywhere. And this is why sometimes what I want to do is I kind of want to go to the extreme and just show you the nature of the extreme. 2 years ago, there was a movie that came out by the same movie company, production company, that does The Chosen. It was called The Sound of Freedom. This was a very moving movie that you've really got to have a bit of courage to watch, because it is the story about the trafficking of our children. The trafficking of our children, the trafficking of our women, men. There are today, statistics say, 27.6 million people that are being trafficked right this moment, that are in slavery with us. In the world today, the estimates are somewhere under 50 million who are living in a culture of slavery, who are literally in the bonds. It can even be in domestic violence, and don't think it's not happening in our neighborhoods. It's everywhere. And what you've got in this is in the sound of this movie is this courage inside of this gentleman who says, "You can't have our children. They're not for sale." And so this movement of a rescue mission goes out to rescue our children, to care for the children. And so you can just see the nature of this when, as you're walking through the movie and the text, that when the perpetrators and the violators are caught, everything inside of you says, yes, there's got to be justice. You don't take our children. How many of you know what it feels like to have somebody who is violated caught and make sure that they never do it again? See, there's a very basic principle. It undergirds all of justice. There is consequence to sin. There is a debt that must be paid. Sin always creates debt. Which is why you've got underneath the girding of the scriptures, you've got the sound that the wages of sin is death. See, when you watch somebody who has hurt our children get the justice that's due them, you understand why there is righteous anger against these things. You feel it inside. Some people say to me down through the years of my life, they don't understand the doctrine of the wrath of God. If you're a dad, if you're a mom, if you've had somebody violated, you know justice and the need for justice in life. And this is the nature of these things, which means in the consequence, the picture that's given in the consequence is that one day there's going to be judgment for these things. And when the Bible talks about that judgment, it uses the word fire. That's the nature of it. So you'll hear in John the Baptist that the wheat will be gathered into the barn and the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. You hear in the sound of Jesus, our Lord, as he sits upon the judgment seat, for one day we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and the sheep and the goats are divided, and the sheep go off to eternal life, and the goats go into what he calls the eternal flame, the eternal fire. It's the picture of judgment in the context of Scripture. And you'll see that even the way the Bible ends, it talks of the lake of fire. The picture of the fire coming down, I cast fire upon the earth. If you've got your mind, if you've got any idea of scriptures, you'll remember that in Sodom and Gomorrah, that's exactly what happened. Is there one righteous here? Abraham was pleading. He was saying, are there like 20 righteous? Or are there like 10 righteous? But that place had been given to greed and lust and filth. And the day came for judgment. And what happened? The righteous were removed and down came the fire from heaven. Casting fire from heaven. It's the picture of judgment. Now, that may be hard to swallow at 8 o'clock in the morning. Some of you have just whiffed out. But I want to tell you something. That's the most important part of this. Jesus has come and we know he's coming to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. We know this. We know the nature of this. But at the end of the day, the way this story moves is we come to realize in our own lives that we're in trouble, that you and I are in trouble. This is why the day comes at some point and you've got to know it. I don't know how it happens, but you suddenly realize what the Bible teaches us from the beginning, that all of us have sinned, that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. This is why in that prayer book that we're about to come to the confession, what we find in the prayer book, in the way we say this, we acknowledge and lament our many sins and offenses, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed, against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your righteous anger against us. You see, the way Jesus talks about this is he shows us and shares with us that you and I are, well, let me just say it the way he says it in John 8:34. He says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. That's the way he says it, that we're in the bounds of sin. Like a noose wrapped around us. It's a principle inside of us. That there is this, that there's nature inside of us. So by the time you get to Romans chapter 7, the writer Paul is showing us, I know that I'm captive to the sin that's within me. And that I too know that I have sinned. And that I am worthy and destined also for the same kind of judgment. The reason I'm pointing this out is that when Jesus comes to speak on these things, to share about these things, this is the moment where, in verse 50, he comes and says to us, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And he says, how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Now, that might not mean much to you, but I'm telling you, it's the most extraordinary thing possible to know. When you're aware that you're in trouble and need of rescue, do you know what the word redeemer means? Does that make that word work for you? The word redeemer, does that mean anything to you? The redeemer is the one that comes to the prison, to the cell, to the place of slavery, and says, how much is that one worth? How much is that person worth? And the redeemer comes and pays the ransom cost and says, I'll take that debt to myself. I'll pay the cost of that justice. I'll do it. And this is why when you see this moment in Scripture, when the Lord Jesus is saying, I've come as judge, I've come to cast fire on the earth, and suddenly you realize that he is coming to us to say, and when it comes, it's going to come on me. I am going to take the justice due you to me. I'm going to pay the debt. I'm the one that's going to rescue. I'm the one that's going to come and bring this gift to you, that what you deserve to pay for, I'll pay for it. This is why he's called Redeemer. This is why he's called Savior. This is why he has come. I love this story so much. And I think part of the reason I love it so much is that somewhere inside, when you realize that what is that what he has come to do is to love us this much, to care for us this much, that he knows us and that he sees us and that he loves us, so as to take the sin that was due us, the cost of us, onto himself, that he's willing to pay that price for us. That when he comes, the thing that you hear in the sound of his own words, he says, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. I've come to pay the cost. So that the sound that comes out of the New Testament is the most beautiful sound of all. It's the sound where it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. He's taken what was due us onto him so that we might be forgiven our sins. So we might be forgiven, that we might not be in slavery to our sins. This is why when we hold that chalice in a few minutes and say, this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, what it is saying is that the Lord Jesus has come to pay the cost for us. He's come to pay the cost for me and for you. That the sins that were due us and the judgment, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, and that's my death that I deserve. And yet he's coming and saying, yes, but I've done that for you, and your sins are forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Peter shouts this news. He says, knowing that you were redeemed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, you were ransomed, the cost, not with perishable things like silver and gold. You were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ. That he's come to set you free. He's come to make you his own. That's what he's come to do. Now, I don't know if this means much to you at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how anybody survives a sermon like this at 8 o'clock in the morning, let alone at 10 o'clock in the morning. But I can tell you this. This past month, I've been to two funerals of dear friends. One was a deacon who literally gave her life to the service of others. And I knew from she and her husband's life that there were many people who did not know the Lord whom they served. And there at the funeral, the preacher got up. And gave a eulogy about this woman's life. all the great things she had done, all the great things she accomplished. This would have grieved her so much. The next funeral I went to was of an ordained minister who gave specific instruction: at my funeral, do not give a eulogy. Don't talk about me. So the preacher got up and said that I was told to do this, but he's dead. He can't respond, so I'm going to talk about him. I had a woman come to my office. She sat me down. She had a terminal diagnosis, and she said, listen to me. Listen carefully. You are preaching my funeral sermon, and you are not talking about me. I want you to talk about the one who saved me. Because this is the whole point of this passage. It's the whole point. There is a day of judgment coming. There is. When all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and each of us will give an account for what we've done in this life. That's exactly what it says. All through Scripture. All through Scripture. All of it. There's coming that day when we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be recompensed for the deeds that we have done in this life. And what I want to say about that judgment day is that when I come to this passage and he says, I've come to cast fire upon the earth, there it is, a day of judgment coming. But the next verse says, and I want you to know, I've taken it to myself for you. That's what I've done. So that for those who believe in Christ, the day of judgment isn't coming. The day of judgment's behind us. Amen. It's behind us. It's happened upon the cross of Calvary when our Savior said, I love you so much. I love you so much that I've done it for you. And what I want more than anything is I want you to go out and tell everybody. Tell everybody the gift is here. Tell everybody, point them to my cross. Tell them what I've done. And that's where the world splits in two. That's why you've got division written right after this. Mother, son, daughter, families are going to split. You can feel it in your own families. People who don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. They don't want to know about him or give their life to him or live for him. Why? They can split away. I'm living my own life. You can see the divisions. The sheep, the goats, the wheat, the tares, all of it is still there. It's still alive today. And that's why Jesus ends this passage by saying, we don't know the present times, the urgency of this. He would that none of us would perish. He would that none of us would perish. He doesn't want us to go into the judgment day. But it will come. And those who have violated his holy law, there is heaven and there is hell and it is real. And today, we've got a Savior. Thanks be to God. We've got a Savior. This is why, come my funeral. Oh, this is the greatest news. Everybody needs to know this. This person, you know something? I know you didn't like him. You think he's dead. He's not dead. I'll tell you why he's not dead. Because his Savior's alive. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes me shall live and not die. He's the one that brings us promise and life. Have you given your life to Christ with all your heart? Have you given, you said, Lord, you've bought me that price. You've paid the precious. You're going to hold it in your hand today. That cup of salvation. That beautiful bread that was broken for us on Calvary's hill. And that blood that was poured out for us. Why? That one day, when this body goes down into the dust, we're going to see our Savior who loved us so much he came to rescue us. He loves us so much. I wish we knew how much he loved us. How much he knows the trouble we're in, even if we don't. And the gift he has to give us. Oh, the huge gift that he has to give. Friends, have you given your life to Jesus? Are you walking in his ways, following his ways? Because for me, in this life, this temporary, crazy world we live in, I want to tell everybody about a Savior who's come for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.